It's a great privilege God has granted to proclaim the excellencies of His character and nature together as a body of Christ in this place. And the topic for our study is a farewell message. And Joshua gave this farewell message to 2.5 tribes. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. When they were about to enter into the allotted land on the other side of the Jordan, which is on the east side of the Jordan. And let us sit here with expectation what Lord wants to teach us, to you and me, through this passage. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer? And before that, shall we read the scripture portion, Joshua chapter 22, verses from 1 to 6. Please turn your Bibles with me to book of Joshua chapter 22, verses from 1 to 6. The passage goes like this. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan." Verse 5. "Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Shall we humble before the Almighty God? Lord, this morning we come as your sheep with expectation that you may bless the study of this passage. Lord, give us understanding about the meaning of the passage. And even, Lord, you may be interfering very personally through your word and through your spirit, so that, Lord, we may be growing in Christ-likeness. We pray that you may grant us wisdom and attention to your word, and your name may be exalted today morning in our midst as we have come together in the name of Jesus. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A person was once narrating this incident that may surprise you. He was describing the background behind the closing down of a church meeting at his hometown. You may be wondering why the church meeting should suddenly close down. And it is not because of wrong doctrines. It's not because of split. It is because of the wrong way in which the people of God responded to the blessings of God. And when the first time gospel came to that hometown, there was a great revival. People were saved from idolatry. People were saved from wrong traditions. And the first generation stood for Christ amidst all opposition. They stood for the witnessing of Christ. It was very difficult for them. And you know what God did? God blessed them abundantly. God blessed them spiritually, materially as well. And when the second generation came, things started changing. The people just wanted to enjoy the material blessings of God. They were joyfully sailing in the waves of the blessings God had granted them. And you know what happened? After a few years of time, people, the second generation people, they started migrating to greener pastures in search for more material blessings. And the reality, what happened, you may be wondering, no family is left behind in that hometown to have fellowship together on Sunday. No witness. And Christ is building his church, and what a sad consequence. In a locality, there is no pillar and support of the truth. And that is a consequence, dear brothers and sisters, when you and me, when we wrongly respond to the blessings God has graciously granted to your life and my life. And many times have you wondered that God, out of his love, will discipline you. Because the tendency is you receive the blessing and there is a tendency to forget God and move away from God. But God many times visits your life and my life with discipline so that we are again forcefully drawn to the presence of God. So what a blessing it would be in the beginning stage itself, you and I know how to rightly respond to the blessings God gives to your life and my life. And if you look at the passage, we find that the main idea of Joshua chapter 22 verses 1 to 6 is teaching or instructions about how to rightly respond to the blessings of God. And some of you may be knowing the background of the entire book of Joshua. The first 12 chapters, chapters 1 to 12, it speaks about the conquering of the land of Canaan through the powerful hands of God. Joshua is only an instrument in the hand of God. Chapters 1 to 12, book of Joshua. And if you look at the chapters from 13 to 21, we read about how the land was divided among the tribes. And we see that happening in a very systematic way. Joshua and the other leaders, they enabled to divide the land among the tribes. And the context of this farewell message will be very clear when we read the last paragraph of chapter 21. That gives the idea that God blesses his people abundantly, even with material things. Even he fulfills the promises. I would like to request you to note down in chapter 21. I'm going to read from verses 43 to 45. Please note with me how many times the word "the Lord gave" is mentioned. From chapter 21, verses 43 to 44. Please note with me. So the Lord gave all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and none of all the enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45 is the summary. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Passage is declaring the faithfulness of God. How God fulfilled the promise he has given to the children of God to bless them with the promised land of Canaan. And everywhere it is written, the Lord gave them. The Lord gave them. It was graciously granted to the people of Israel. Could you look at the last part of that verse? In verse 45, all came to pass. So the context of this farewell message is, God has blessed the people of Israel abundantly. Rest, land, victory over enemies, dominion over enemies. And in this context, you read, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 22, how it starts. Then Joshua summoned. So dear brothers and sisters, we should understand the context of this message that is given to the 2.5 tribes, because they are able to get into the other side of the Jordan River. The God blessed them abundantly. And do you know that even Joshua also is going to bid farewell? Joshua also has grown old in age. And if a few chapters if you read, we find that Joshua also is going to die very soon. So this farewell message has got lot of significance. Not only for that particular occasion. It's a message for their life. Because they are going to go on the other side of the Jordan. At the same time, Joshua is also going to die soon, their leader. So Joshua wanted this group of people to know how to respond rightly to the blessings of God, so that every moment of their life, they will know how to rightly respond to the blessings of God. And this message is very significant in your life and my life. Because whenever we receive a blessing from God, you and I are equipped. How I can respond to it in a God-honoring way? So this is a challenge this message is giving to you. And before getting into the rightful response that is given in verse 5, let us observe a few things from verses from 1 to 4. How Joshua is presenting the farewell message. First we can see in verse 1 to 4, he is calling all the 2.5 tribes, the tribe of the men of the Reubens and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. And what Joshua is doing in the beginning, before they are departing, they are calling, he's calling all the people together at one place. And he is acknowledging their obedience to God. They were obeying. They were obeying Moses. They were obeying Joshua. They were obeying Yahweh. And even when you look at the passage in verse 3, we can see that Joshua is appreciating even their specific obedience. That is sacrificial obedience. Do you know why these 2.5 tribes are on this side of the Jordan now? Because their contribution in the conquering of the land was very important. And you know that for 7 years, the almost 7 years, the people, the men who could fight among the tribes of Reubenites, Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh were with the remaining people, leaving behind their wives and children. For 7 years they sacrificially obeyed so that they will be part of the other group to conquer the remaining land of Canaan. So Joshua is not forgetting it. Very clearly it is mentioned, I remember you were obeying sacrificially. But look at verse 4. Again, Joshua is reminding the people that it is not that you have gained something. God has blessed you. Again, the same theme is coming in verse 4. God has blessed land for all the tribes. For 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan and the remaining tribes on the west side of the Jordan. Look at verse 4 again. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan. And in verse 4, again, Joshua is reminding them, God has given the land. God has given you rest. God has enabled you now to have reunion with your family. Within a few days' time, you are back to your family. You can see your wife, you can see your children. It's a time of rest. And maybe we can say that the 200 tribes are in cloud 9 because God has blessed them abundantly. They have victory over enemies. And in verse 6, what it is told in verse 6, we find that Joshua is blessing and sending him away. But before that happens, we have a verse 5, which we find, where we find Joshua is instructing them not to sail, enjoy the blessings of God and forget him, but to respond in the right way to the blessings of God. That is what we find in verse 5, and that will be the main text for the study. Again, I'm going to read verse 5. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Do you know that the older generation, could they enter the promised land? Everyone perished in the wilderness because they all forgot what God has done. They responded in the wrong way. But today this charge is given to the new generation to respond rightly so that they will not forget God or enjoy sailing on the blessings of God. And if you examine verse 5, we find that Joshua is giving two rightful responses to the blessings of God. The first one is primarily focus on God when he blesses you. What is the primarily temptation you and I face? To focus on the blessing and forget who is the source of blessing. And this is an instruction given by Joshua to the people who have been already blessed by God. And the instruction is, your primary focus should not drift away to the blessings you have received, but the primary focus, the chief and the main focus, must be on God, who is the source of all your blessings. And if you look at this verse 5, how can you come at this point? If you look at verse 5, we read that, only be very careful to observe. Observe, if you look the remaining text we find that observe a specific commandment. But the emphasis of the whole verse is on the first few words. Only and be very careful to observe. That is the instruction Joshua is giving to the people who are about to soon leave after getting blessed so much. If you look at the word only, it means it is restricted. It is restricted to something or one person. And if you look at the word, be very careful, is a word that gives a sense of focusing all your energy, time and attention to one point. Like a person who is working on electronic circuits. The whole focus and attention is given to the elements very carefully. And even how a lens focuses the light to one point. That is the sense of idea this word, be careful, gives. So these two words are giving the sense of instruction that your primary focus must be on God, who is the source of all the blessings in your life and my life. And it should not be on the blessings what God gives you. And that is the first instruction we find in this text, that when God blesses you, dear brothers and sisters, do not be gripped or grabbed by the blessings. But primarily, you must be drawn to God. The primary place should not be given to anybody else. And you know the story of Eric Liddell. And it's a wonderful, inspiring story to young people. And you know that he was a great competitor in the Olympic Games. Now the Olympic Games already is in progress. And do you know this person, a young person, was a person who was always committed to God. And God blessed him abundantly in the field of athletics. He was a world record holder in most of the races, 100 meters and 200 meters. Do you know one thing? On one Olympic Games, he refused to run because the race was on a Sunday. All prospects to win the gold medal. The whole world was surprised. Even the land where he belonged to, they were very unhappy because he had only one focus, to bring honor and glory to God. Sunday should not be reserved for any other thing, but only to bring honor and God to God, who is the source of all blessings. No one could stop him. He went to the worship place on that day without running the race. Very young man. Do you know what happened? The next, after 2 days, he was allowed to participate in another running race instead, where he was not trained at all. God blessed it. And he won the gold medal in that race also. You may be wondering that he may be now trying to run another race so that he may get more gold medals. That didn't happen. He was committed to God. His primary focus was on God. And you know what happened? To the surprise of everyone, he left sports. He went as a missionary to China. Young man whose focus was only on God, not on the blessings of God, because he knew that God is worthy of all honor and adoration. His life was only reserved for God. He was very careful to observe what is important to God. And that person is a challenge. He died at a very young age. Still people remember him because his primary focus was only on God. Dear brothers and sisters, we live in a period of multitasking. On a day, many things are grabbing your attention and my attention. Assignments, studies, cooking, repairing, Is your primary focus on God to bring honor and glory to Him? God blessed you with a smartphone. Now you limit God to an application inside a smartphone. Obsession with things given by God. When you start a day, dear brothers and sisters, where is your primary focus? Is it on the news flashing in the star? Or primary focus is to have your fellowship with God the Almighty? I pray that this instruction may challenge you and me to reorient our focus in life. And always remember the warning that God may chastise when the primary focus is missing His orientation. Because of His love towards you and me, not because of His hatred. So isn't it wonderful that the beginning itself, you and I know how to respond. So next time when you say that God blessed me, then you think, how can I improve my focus to God? Not to focus your time and energy on that blessing. And if you examine this verse again, one more important truth is declared by Joshua when the 2.5 tribes are about to leave the land to meet their dear ones. And even further down if you read, they are carrying gold, silver, many things with them. But Joshua is not telling to do anything with those items. His focus is only on God. How to respond to God. And the second instructions we find how to rightly respond to God is primarily love God when He blesses you. How do you get that idea from this text? As I mentioned earlier, only be very careful to observe a specific commandment. If you look at that verse, it is very clear in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, it is not commandments. We clearly note that the usage of the word. Only be very careful to observe the commandment, the specific commandment. And it is mentioned that this is not the first time they are hearing this commandment. The people who have gathered there are not hearing this commandment for the first time, because it is mentioned that Moses has already commanded you to do this specific thing. What is that commandment? That God wanted the people to hear before they leave that place. And if you get an indication very clearly in verse 5 itself, it starts with to love. That means it is connected with loving God. But where did He give? If you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, we will find that so many occasions, this new generation was given the instruction that when you go to the promised land, do not forget your God. Love the Lord your God. Shall we look at that commandment which is given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5? Will you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5? Where we read like this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And if you look at the Deuteronomy again, this is repeated. God is going to bless you with the promised land in Canaan. But make God the person of your prime love. And do you know what Jesus Christ replied to that person who inquired with Him, what is the greatest commandment? And Christ replied like this, the commandment, He quoted actually from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, to love the Lord above everything. And then we come back, dear brothers and sisters, could you notice that there are other instructions also mentioned there? Verse 5 of the passage, we read, after to love instruction is given, we find to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast to him, serve him with all your heart and soul. There are other instructions also given in this text. Will you agree with me that walking in the ways of God and clinging to him and serving him all must emerge from your love to God? Can it be possible to serve him in the church wholeheartedly without he being your prime love? So we find that all service to him, all your obedience, you want to get baptized, that is coming out of your love to God. You want to serve him day and night, it must come from your heart. It must be prompted by your prime love to God. And that was exactly Christ did when Peter was commissioned for the work of the church. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And Christ confirmed it. Do you love me more than these things? And three times. We find, dear brothers, this is very clear that Christ always wanted to ensure that your service, my service to the church, to the kingdom of God, must emerge from your love to God. And Peter also was confessing, I love you more than these things. You are the object of my prime love. I cannot love others like I love you. And do you know what was the accusation the Lord brought to the church in Ephesus? You read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. All the believers in Ephesus in the time period, they were all doing a lot of service to the Lord. They were working hard. Will you read with me Ephesians, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. It is written like this. Christ is giving this remark regarding the believers in Ephesus. Chapter 2, verse 3, we find that Christ is acknowledging their endurance and their service. In verse 3, you have perseverance, have endured for my namesake, have not grown weary, you are serving really well. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And the believers are then commanded to repent. Do you know that Christ values your love to him? Is Christ the primary focus and also primary love? Some of you may be knowing the story of Hansi Kronje, who was the icon for Christian sportsmen. A wonderful cricketer of the South African team. And he was a wonderful batsman, a wonderful all-rounder, and a wonderful captain. And he was one person who took South Africa to the top 2-3 list in the rankings of cricket matches. And he was loved by most of the believers because he was a saved person like John D. Rhodes and others. And suddenly a news flashed in the news across the world some years back. Hansay Krochne caught, convicted in match-fixing scandal. His prime love for Christ was shifted to money, and he became a victim to the match-fixing scandal. It was a shock to most of the believers who were loving him so much because of his commitments to Christ. And his biography say that he repented. But today you know that he's no more. He's no more. At a prime age, God took him away. And the challenge is, dear brothers and sisters, what is the prime love in your life and my life? I remembered once a preacher was challenging the congregation to remember that day when Christ came into your life. Do you remember those moments? Like when the songwriter says, heavens filled my heart, and as Christ blessed me with salvation. Do you remember those days when you were stricken with sin, bound in darkness, helpless? No one knew you, but Christ knew you personally. And when Christ became your prime love, because you are completely washed away by the blood of Christ on that day. What was the intensity of your love towards him on that day? Do you remember that day? Hearts were filled with love for him. And what is the intensity of your love to him today? Is God convicting you about dropping in the intensity? Today you can repent and make him the prime love of your life and my life. So we find that Joshua blessed them and sent away in verse 6. But before doing that, we read and study that Joshua is giving the right instruction. Do not sail, enjoy on the blessings of God. Always keep him the primary focus and the primary love of your life. And do you know, brothers and sisters, that the period of blessings in your life and my life could be periods of evaluation of your commitments to God. Will you fail, or will you say that, no, God, I don't want to run after the blessings. I want to, you be the prime focus and prime love of my life. I pray that as we have gathered around this text, God may cause us to love him more than anybody else, so that the greatest blessing you and I have received is the salvation of your souls and my souls. And are we thankful to him? Today shall we prayerfully say that, Lord, I want you to be my prime focus. Not studies, not education, not assignments, not other things, but you. And I will also demonstrate it like Eric did. And I want to know to be like Kronje, who left his first love for money. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer? Lord, this morning we come to you that you may convict us through your word. Lord, we know that you are the source of all blessings in our life. Lord, we remember that day, Lord, when heavens came down and filled our heart. Lord, we pray to you that our love to you will be restored as it was in those days. And from that, Lord, we'll be able to serve you, love you, and obey you. I ask for your blessings on this congregation, that we'll all go together, making him the prime focus of our life. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.